Stand by for the Terry Saul Show in 5, roll tape, 4, cue Terry, 3, bring audio up, 2, stand by, 1, play intro.
Stay tuned for the Terry Saul Show on Salem's original radio station, 104.3 FM and 1220 AM, KSLM. Today's show is being brought to you by the Lule Group, featuring Lule's Car Connection, Don Lule Homes, and Teresa Lule's State Farm Insurance.
Well, good morning, and welcome to the Terry Saul Show on Salem's original radio station, KSLM AM and FM. I am your host, and I'm so glad that you joined us today. Today's special guest is my buddy Baron. How are you?
I'm good. It's always good to be back.
Yeah, it's been a while. Where you been?
Everywhere.
Have you?
Actually, it's kind of funny. I have this friend that lives in Newport that just started following. I used to live in Newport, so he just started following me on social media, and he's like, dude, you are everywhere, because he's seen these pictures of me with my shirt.
There you go. Kicking cancer, still kicking pretty hard?
You know, we survived COVID very, very well.
Did you get your COVID shot yet?
No.
I got mine.
Did you?
Yeah. You want to know something? Because I'm Patty was there with me, and because I didn't cry, she bought me a Reese's peanut butter cup. She goes, "Here you go." I go, "What's that for?" Because you didn't cry.
Because you didn't cry.
And I go, "Well, what makes you think I'm going to cry?" She says, "Well, I know you." But what's interesting, Baron, is that when she asked me which arm I wanted on, I told her I wanted it on my right arm because I sleep on my left side, so
right.
That way I don't have to look at Patty all night.
Okay.
And
that's why my wife does that.
There you go. So she gave it to me, and she stuck it in there, and she says, "Okay, now the worst part's done." I go, "What do you mean the worst part?" I really did not feel it. And she says, "We're done." And I go, "You're kidding." And she goes, "Yep." My arm was a little bit sore the next day, and I used that for an excuse not to help Patty with any of the house chores.
There you go.
And I think it's still sore. It will be when I get home today. But so I've had the first one. I'm getting ready to go do the second one here in another couple of weeks. So.
Okay. Well, my wife's had both of hers, so.
Yeah. Well, she's kind of an essential employee, though, isn't she?
She's a 911 dispatcher.
That's
kind of essential.
Yeah.
Yep.
But you haven't had yours yet?
I haven't. You know, I'm
How
not
old are you? Are you?
I'm 57.
Okay, so you're the same age as Patty then, so you're not ready yet. But
so I don't fall into any of the categories. I'm not essential for anything for anybody.
In other words, no one gives a damn what you're doing, right?
Pretty much.
There you go. All right. Hey, let's talk about kicking cancer. What's going on?
Well, you know, one of the things that I love about what this organization is doing is every month does have a cancer awareness, mm-hmm. and March is kidney cancer awareness. So Kicking Cancer would like to honor Terry Saul this
Get
month.
Get out of here.
You are a kidney cancer survivor, my friend.
Yeah, but we don't need to talk about it. You know, if you were around back then, you could have given me one of your kidneys.
You know, I would still give you one of my kidneys if you need it.
I wouldn't give you one of mine right now because I only have one.
That's what I hear.
Well,
but, you know,
kind of neat.
I would love... we want to tell your story on social media, and I would love to know more about your story. So I know it was like 20-something years ago you found out. 22 years ago? I don't know.
It's been that long
24
already?
Years ago.
Yeah. I was working at Brand X across town.
Yep.
Doing my radio show. And I got a rude awakening. You know what was really weird? How we first found out there was an issue? When I was over at KBZY, I was doing my midday show, and they had a blood drive.
Okay.
And the morning guy decided that all of us were going to go down there and donate blood. And so I thought, okay, I can do that. So you go down there to the blood bank. I can't remember where it was at. And we're donating the blood, and you're sitting on this recliner, and they're sucking the blood out of you, and you're squeezing some kind of a ball or something.
Yeah.
And so about 2 weeks later, I get a phone call, and they says, "Can you come back down and do it again?" I go, "Sure, why? What's going on?" They says, "Your blood was rejected."
What?
That's what I said.
What?
That's exactly what I said. "What do you mean it was rejected?" And you didn't like the color of it or what? He says, "Exactly. It was rejected."
No, seriously, they don't like the color?
He says that it was too dark.
Okay.
And he says, "Well, isn't blood supposed to be a dark red?"
Yeah.
And he says, "Well, yours didn't look right, and we tested it, and it's not right. It's not,
that's,
we can't accept
that's
it."
That's how they found out that there was a problem?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
And so I thought, well, this is kind of bizarre. So we went back and we did it again, and again they told me, "Sorry, can't use it."
How old were you then, Terry?
Well, good gosh, let's do the math again here.
Well, we just fed 24, so how old are you now?
50. Let's see, 55 is when I was born.
Okay.
So I have to count like my mother. 65, 75, 85, 95, so 43 years?
43 years old?
Yeah, 42, 43 years, something like that.
In your early 40s.
Yeah. And don't be throwing me curves.
Math is hard.
I'm telling you, especially when you're put on the spot, thank you very much.
I thought you knew how old you were.
I don't even know how old I am right now. So we went back, and at that time I started passing kidney stones. And I thought, well, this isn't fun. Have you ever passed a kidney stone?
No, but I've heard it's painful.
They say it's comparable to childbirth.
And I haven't done that either.
Okay, well, let me tell you something. If that's what it feels like to have a child, why would you want a second? There's a thing about us guys, we're wimps when it comes to that.
That's what I've heard. That's a reason the white women have babies. Man. God knew men couldn't do it.
That's right. But I was passing these kidney stones, and they couldn't figure out why. And it got to the point where I went to my doctor. He's no longer practicing in Silverton, Dr. Gabe. And I said, man, I can feel the pain. I think I'm going to have another kidney stone. And he goes, all right, go give me a urine sample. And so I went in there, and I passed it right then and there. And I came back, and I go, I got the sample, and I even got the stone.
Oh, my gosh.
And he goes, okay, that'll be $100, please. And I go, wait a minute.
You didn't do anything.
You didn't do anything. I did it. But and it's instant relief. As soon as you pass that stone, it's instant relief.
Wow.
And so I was passing these stones, and I actually have a little jar at home with about 9 stones in there. I'm trying to, you know, save up enough to build a necklace.
Yeah, I guess so.
But we couldn't figure out why we were passing the stones. And so my doctor says, well, I'm going to send you to a specialist in Salem and have him figure this out.
So how long was that after they said your blood didn't look right?
Within about a month.
Okay, so pretty quick.
Yeah.
Pretty quick.
We went to this doctor here, and he did his testing and so on and so forth. And I think he did a CT scan or MRI. I don't remember what he did. I was back at the radio station. I was doing my show. It was Monday of Thanksgiving week. That 97.
Okay.
And I'm doing my radio show, and I remember it specifically because I was playing Olivia Newton-John.
Oh.
And I don't know why I remember, but I remember it.
And it sticks in your memory.
Yeah, he calls up, and he says, are you on the air right now? I go, yeah, I am. He says, are we on the air? I go, no, we're not. I'm playing a song right now. And he says, well, I got some good news and bad news. And I said, okay, give me the good news. He says, well, the good news is you're about to pass another stone.
That's the good news?
That's what I said. And then I go, well, could you hang out for just a minute? Here's Olivia Newton-John on KBZY, blah, blah, blah. And I come back and go, okay, let's finish this conversation now. And he says, yeah. I said, what's the bad news? He says, well, we found something in your kidney that we don't like. And I says, okay. He says, it could be cancer, but we're not sure, so we need to remove your kidney. And I go, well, don't I kind of need it? And he says, no, we'll be fine. I said,
all right. So I got a question. If they didn't know for sure it was cancer, why was the first decision to remove the kidney?
Because that's where the cancer was.
But they didn't know for sure.
But they didn't want to go into your, because I asked him this. I says, why do you need to take out the whole kidney? He goes, because if we go in there and take out that one little area, we may not get it all. And then by, I guess, puncturing your kidney, if there is cancer in there, it could escape. So he says, we're going to take out your whole kidney.
So on the suspicion it was cancer.
Exactly. They did not know for sure.
Okay.
So this is Monday of Thanksgiving week. And so I said, okay, well, that's fine if that's what you guys want to do. Let's wait until after the holidays. And he chuckled a little bit, and he says, no. What time do you get off today?
Are you serious?
Yeah.
And I he's calling you, and then as soon as you get off air, go down and have it done?
I said, I get off at 2 o'clock. He says, be in my office by 3.
Wow.
And by 4 o'clock, I was over at the hospital, and they were prepping me for surgery.
Wow.
I remember waking up the next morning just in a total daze, in total pain, because it hurt like hell. And I ended up doing my Thanksgiving Day show 2 days later, live from the hospital.
You are a radio superstar.
No, radio pig.
But you just like the sound of your own voice, right?
You know what they did? It was really funny because they kept my door shut. And I didn't understand what that was all about until they got me up walking around. And when I walked around there, opened the door, there was a gold star on the door that somebody from KBCY brought down and put on the door there. And they didn't want people coming in because there's a celebrity in there.
Oh, my gosh.
Are you people serious? Are you serious? So on that morning, on Thanksgiving morning, I did my show, strung out on morphine.
I hope somebody has a recording of that just to play back once in a while.
You know what? We do, and I heard it, and it's bad. It's bad.
If you had that much morphine, it must have been an amazing show.
You know, it's my mom. She came in one morning and she says, how you doing, son? I go, Ma, I hurt. She says, well, call the nurse. And so I'm pushing the button. She's over there and she's pushing the button and the nurse isn't coming in there. And so finally a nurse walks by and my mom screams at her. I won't tell you what she said because we're on the radio. And she says, my son is in pain. Could you please come over here and give him something? And she comes in there and looks at me And I go, I'm feeling pretty good right now. The button my mom was pushing for the nurse, it was the morphine, which gives you those little shots, little injections.
How many times did she push
it? Oh, she must have pushed it a half a dozen times because I was flying high. And it's like, Mom, I think you need to leave the hospital, but you know, it sure feels good.
Well, I want to encourage your listeners, every cancer is a color, and kidney cancer is green. And March is also St. Patty's Day.
Yeah.
So let's just wear lots of green in honor of Terry's soul.
No, let's just wear lots of green.
Let's wear lots of green for kidney cancer.
For kidney cancer.
During the month of March.
But you know something that was really weird because I learned
But
a
we
lot.
Do want to honor your story this month.
Well, I appreciate that, and thank you. But to finish it up real quickly, I remember that I had to go for a checkup about 6 weeks later, and the doctor says, how you doing? And I says, you know what? I'm still having trouble breathing. It hurts to breathe. And he goes, well, you need to understand, we had to break your floater rib. And I says, why did you need to do that? And in order to get the kidney out complete without puncturing the kidney, they had to break my floater rib and I guess move it off to the side a little bit so they can get the kidney out. And I thought, well, that was nice of you to let me know that.
Wow.
And then about another 6 weeks, I went back in again and I go, man, I just don't have any energy. And he says, well, we had to take your adrenaline gland too. Is there anything left in there? I mean, what else did you take?
Oh, my gosh.
And because that your adrenal gland sits right on top of your kidney.
Yeah.
And they just took the whole thing out. And he says, well, that's probably why you don't have any energy. I go, well, when I get my energy back, he goes, oh, never. And it's like, okay, whatever. So now when Patty says, would you go clean the storage unit? I says, sorry.
Nope. Yeah, they took all that stuff out.
I don't have an adrenal gland.
Yeah.
Just don't have the energy for it. Too bad you caught me on a bad day.
That's right. And ride that excuse as long as you can, sir.
I've been riding for 20-some odd years.
There you go.
But they had me going 3 times a year for chest x-rays to make sure that the kidney was complete, or the cancer was completely gone. It was cancer, by the way.
Okay, good.
When they did get in there, they did find out that it was cancerous. And they had me going in for about 3 or 4 years, 3 times a year. And then it came back down to, okay, we can do it once a year. And now it's once every other year, but I encourage them to do it once a year just because I like to sleep at night.
Yeah. Right,
knowing that. But
so has it, you know, in the last 20-some odd years, has it come back at all?
No, sir. Knock on wood.
Good.
No, sir. And I'll tell you what, you and I have talked about this before. When you hear the C word, you instantly think the worst. And when he told me, he says, you may have cancer. Well, at that point, I'd already lost my dad to cancer. My mom and my brother had not passed yet to cancer. So, but I still lost my dad.
But you have lost your mom and dad since then.
Yeah, and my brother.
Yeah.
And so it's a weird feeling because, you know, you hear the C word, you look at your wife, and then you come home and you look at your two children. And, you know, my kids were small then. They were, you know, under 10. And it tugs. It tugs at the heart.
Yeah.
And it's just enough to, you know, to beat the snot out of you.
Well, I know that when Brenda was here and we were here together, you asked her, you know, her first thoughts when she heard the C word. I guess my question for you was, when you heard the C word, was Patty with you? Because a lot of people, when they hear it,
I was in the radio station playing Olivia Newton-John.
So
no.
Did it kind of like cause your brain to stop listening to the rest of the conversation?
It made my brain stop listening to Olivia Newton-John.
Yeah.
I'm serious, because all of a sudden, cancer.
Yeah.
And then everything else just, and I remember walking into my boss's office after my show there, and I said, I'm going to need to take some time off. He goes, what's going on? I said, they want to take out a kidney. He goes, when? I go, right now.
Right now.
So I won't be around for a few weeks. And he just, you know, he was awesome about it. He's okay.
But it definitely strikes fear when you hear the C word, doesn't it?
Scares the hell out of you.
Yeah.
Scares the hell out of you. Because on mine, they were able to resolve the issue by removing the kidney. But you know what? My brother-in-law right now is stage 4, and he's under hospice care right now, and he's probably not going to make it through this weekend. They've already told us that. And, you know, those are the stories you hear.
Yeah.
And so it's like, okay, those are the stories I hear. It's just a scary feeling. You've got kids.
Yeah.
So if all of a sudden, you know, heaven forbid that they should say, hey, Baron, guess what? We're taking out a kidney because it's full of cancer. It's going to get your attention real fast.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and that's why Kicking Cancer was formed, was to tell more stories of people like you and others that have gone through this fight and to know that it doesn't always have to be scary.
Yep. Yeah. That's it. We need to take a short break here. And when we come back, we'll have more with Baron, and we're going to talk to somebody else. Who are we talking to?
Name is Jamie Westerfeld. You're going to love her story.
All right. Where is she?
She is in Lake Forest, California.
We're going to call her.
We're going to call her. Yes,
got
we are.
It. All right. Back in just a moment.
We're back in 5, 4, Q Terry, 2, 1, you're on.
Welcome back to the Terry Saul Weekend Show. We are talking to my buddy Baron Robison, and you have brought somebody in, but I don't see anyone.
No. This is actually a really good friend of mine. Jamie Westerfield lives in Lake Forest, California.
Hi, Jamie.
Hi. Nice to be here.
Well, thank you, and I'm glad that you're with us. Where's Lake Forest, California?
We're in South Orange County, so I'm in between San Diego and Los Angeles.
Oh, pretty area down there.
Yes, it is.
We were down in San Diego years ago, and just gorgeous area down there.
One of my most favorite places. I actually lived there for 7 years and in my 20s, and it was fabulous.
Good. You got the floor. Take it and run.
I got the floor.
I
guess the question that you should probably ask Jamie is how she met an idiot like me.
All right. Jamie, how'd you meet an idiot like him?
That's good. Well, I was actually in Oregon, doing some seminars, and Baron happened to be at one of them when I was actually speaking, so that's how we met, and he's never left me alone since. Just kidding.
Sorry, Jamie.
So you met him in Oregon, and what was he doing when you met him? Probably nothing.
He had his Kicking Cancer program, and he was wearing this bright pink shirt. I remember that, and I was actually speaking on cancer because I am a cancer survivor, so I was actually there, and that's how we met during that kind of a talk.
Jamie, tell me about your cancer.
Well, I actually just celebrated my 23rd anniversary
Good
of being cancer-free. I was diagnosed with colon cancer when I was 40 years old, had to have surgery and chemo. And
what year was that?
That was in 1998.
The year after mine.
Terry just was telling the listeners that he was diagnosed with kidney cancer in 97.
Oh, okay. So we're in this together.
And actually his was Thanksgiving 97, so really only like 2 months before yours, Jamie.
Yeah, because mine was in January of 98, right.
Okay. So I was still in pain when you had yours, too.
And
now that Baron's here, I'm still in pain. So tell me about it. How did they tell you?
Well, it was actually pretty scary. I had gone in for a colonoscopy because my husband did, and I thought, oh, that sounds like something fun to do. So I went in, and I actually will never forget this. I was laying on the little gurney thing, and I couldn't wait to go eat. I was starving, and my husband was propped up had his hands on his chin, and he was looking at me, and the doctor walked in, and I looked at the doctor, and he had this really, really grim look on his face. And I just said, is everything okay? And he goes, no, Jamie, it isn't. And I said, why, do I have like a tumor or something? He goes, yes, you do. And I go, is it cancer? He goes, it is. And I said, am I going to die? And he goes, I don't know.
My
6'4", 235-pound husband proceeded to literally fall over onto the ground and pass out. I laugh about it now because, it's always about the guys. It's never about the girls. And the entire staff in there, the nurses, the doctors, they all went to my husband while I'm over here, just got diagnosed with cancer, They were doing smelling salts and all this other stuff on him. So,
because he's 6'4", 240 pounds, and he dropped like a...
Yeah.
I was just telling Baron that I had my first COVID vaccination the other day. Because I didn't cry, my wife brought me a Reese's peanut butter cup. Mm-hmm.
Jamie, he also told me that the way he found out he had cancer is he was passing a number of kidney stones, and he said it's comparable to giving birth, and that's why men don't have babies.
Or a second one.
Yeah, my husband would agree with that. Yeah. He's done that.
So when they told you that, what went through your mind? Were you afraid that the end is coming?
Well, as a matter of fact, my kids were only 6 and 9 at the time I was diagnosed, and my biggest fear was that my husband was going to raise them by himself, and so I was very scared because they gave me a little bit more than a 50% chance of survival because the tumor was a lemon, the size of a lemon when they found it. They told me it would be probably 6 months and it would have gone into my liver and it would have been too late. And I told him, I go, why don't I have any symptoms? I had no symptoms. And he goes, a lot of times you just don't. You just never know. So I decided to do a ton of research and find out what I could do for myself because I was so scared, didn't want to leave my kids.
Did it make you mad, Jamie? Were you mad?
Yes. I actually was mad. Nobody's ever asked me that question before. Yes, I was very angry. You go through the why me thing. What did I do wrong? Why is this happening? So absolutely.
Because I know when I had it mine, I got pissed off.
Yeah.
Like, what do you mean I got cancer? No, I don't. So you go into that fight mode.
Exactly. Well, And like you just said, when they gave me those odds, I decided right then and there that I wasn't going to be a statistic, that I wasn't going to be a number, that I was going to fight in every way that I could. And I don't know if like you, but when I was getting treatment, I would look in the chemo room, and there were so many people that I could tell had just succumbed to whatever it was. But those of us that were fighting, we knew we were going to survive it.
How many sessions of chemo did you have, Jamie?
I had it once a week for 6 months.
Once a week for 6 months. So that's how 24 sessions?
Once a week for however many weeks are in that. Yeah.
Yep.
There you go, Byron, with that math again.
Yeah.
So, and how long was each session?
An hour and a half to 2 hours.
Okay, and that was chemo and not the radiation, right?
No, no radiation, because they were able to get all the cancer out. The only problem was that it had gone into the surrounding tissue. I didn't even have any lymph nodes. I was very fortunate.
What was the side effects from your treatment?
Well, I had to work full time, and so...
Because your husband was still passed out on the floor there and you couldn't get him up?
Yeah, he's still bouncing.
All right.
Exactly. I had to work full time, so I had chemo on Monday mornings, and I went back to work on Tuesdays. I did, you know, as what people don't realize with chemo is that it's accumulative. So I didn't feel too bad the first time, but then it progressively got worse because they're giving you more and more.
But yeah, the power for me, Jamie, when I met you was you were talking about the fact that you knew the chemo was going to drop your red blood cells, and you got really proactive in getting whole food in your system to counteract it, right?
That's right. Exactly right. I kept finding out over and over again that if you consumed a diet, you know, of fruits and vegetables, I was so anemic from the cancer, my hemoglobin was down to 7 points, and you can actually die at 6, they told me. And so they said the chemo was going to make it so much worse, and it would take minimum of a year. But I started doing whole foods. As you know, Bear, and I was introduced to Juice Plus by a doctor, and I started taking it, and my red blood count did go way up. It went from 7 to 14.6 in 2 months, and, you know, it's because I was consuming so many fruits and vegetables. So I know that that's really, really important.
So we've only got a little bit of time, Jamie, but would you tell me again, what did the doctor say when you said, why don't you share this information?
Oh, my, well, I went, took it to my oncologist. I asked him, I go, you know how good this is. You've seen what it's done for me. Why don't you tell everybody about it? And he said, I didn't go to school for 9 years to tell people to eat broccoli.
I always bring something that seems to always make Terry a little mad. He pisses him off. But you know what? That's a powerful statement that there's no money in broccoli.
Right.
Do you like broccoli?
Do I like broccoli?
Yeah.
I love broccoli.
You want to hear something?
What?
And we're going to take a short break here after this. I'm 65 years old, and I just discovered broccoli about a month ago. I love it now.
Oh, that's great.
It took me 65 years, but I love it.
Good for you.
Jamie, we have to take a short break. Can you stay on with us for another segment here? Because I got a couple more questions I want to ask you real quick.
Sure.
We're back in 5, 4, Q-Terry, 2, 1, you're on. You're listening to The Terry Saul Show on KSLM AM and FM, brought to you today by the Lule Group.
We are back. This is The Terry Saul Weekend Show on Salem's original radio station, KSLM AM and FM. I am your host. Today, my guest is Baron, and we're talking with Jamie Westerfield from Lake Forest, California, about her cancer scare, I guess you'd say. You said that your children were under 10 years old when you were told 20-some-odd years ago that you had cancer. Is that right?
That's correct. 6 and 9.
Okay. How did you tell? Did you tell them?
I did tell them. It was really bad for my 9-year-old because he was old enough to understand that his mom went to go to the doctor one day and didn't come back for a week. He was so afraid to leave my side because he was afraid if I ever went anywhere, I wasn't going to come back again. My 6-year-old was a little bit more, like, confused more than anything, but they knew Mom on Monday nights was going to always be sick, and so they were really good, and they did the best they could, but it was probably the most difficult conversation I've ever had.
A story in my situation, which is kind of bizarre that you would say it that way, that you just said it, was my father passed away at a very early age. He was in his early 30s. I think 8 years old at the time when he passed, and that was my son's biggest fear, because my son was 8 years old then, and I was in my 30s, and my son just thought, you know what, Grandpa didn't make it, so now my dad's going through the same thing, and that year was a rough year for my son. And so was your husband a lot of support for you?
My husband was supportive, but he was also in denial. He just wanted everything to go back to normal, and he didn't want me to be sick anymore. So he actually went through some real anger issues with it because he didn't know how to deal with it.
He was afraid. He was scared that he might lose his wife.
Exactly.
One of the things that we have launched this year, Jamie, I think I've told you this about, but Kicking Cancer is a program called Pathways, and it's designed specifically for Jamie's situation. When one of the parents is going through cancer, we have volunteers now that will come in and work with the kids on a one-to-one mentoring, take them on outings, take them bowling, miniature golfing, help them with homework, so that the family can help the one who does have the cancer and help relieve the stress from the kids. It's going to be a great program.
I think that is great, and I will tell you, the teachers at my son's schools gathered together, and they took care of them for me to make sure that they were always comfortable so that they didn't feel alone. They felt really left out because they didn't understand what was going on, so I think that's a great idea.
So, Jamie, you basically whooped its butt. How did you find out that you were cancer-free?
I had to go back every 3 months for CAT scans and, you know, those kinds of things, and I've had 11 colonoscopies, and so in year 7...
11?
So in year 7, they just said, you know what, Jamie, I had no traces, nothing. I never even had polyps. Nothing ever came back. That's when they decided at that point that I didn't have to go do that anymore. So I was really happy about that.
And then you came home and told the kids, Mommy's okay?
Well, my kids thought I was okay. As soon as I finished treatment, we went on a big houseboat trip, and that's when they decided I was completely fine.
Nice. So, and your big husband, he's dealing okay now?
Yeah, he did have a lump on the back of his head. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah,
you're a cruel person, Jamie. Yeah. What are you doing now? You're eating lots of vegetables?
Well, actually, I am very involved. You know, I do take Juice Plus, and so I actually decided to share with others, and I've taken a completely different career path, and I love it that I get to be home with my family, and I've enjoyed my kids. I now have 2 grandchildren, so
nice.
It's exciting.
Aren't they the best?
They are the best. I wish I would have done that first. It's so much easier.
You know, I told my son that. I was watching him the other day, and my son said to me, Dad, why do you spoil my kids more than you ever spoiled me? And I said, well, son, you got to understand, I like your kids.
Yeah.
You know?
And you get to give them back at the end of the day, so.
Yeah, but we don't like to give them back. We like having them. We like keeping them. You know, my granddaughter, she's 4 years old now, and she's got Grandpa figured out. She goes, love you, Grandpa. Okay, what do you want?
Yeah. You know, my granddaughter's 4 years old, too.
I'm telling you, there you go.
Well, you and Terry are about the same age, and you had your cancer scare about the same time.
That sounds like it. Well, congratulations, Terry.
Thank you,
That's
and back
awesome.
To you, too. I'm so so glad you're doing really, really well.
Thank you.
But I don't know about that 11 colonoscopies, though, Baron. That's a tough way to go.
I know.
Yeah, I tell everybody I'm an expert, so if you want to know how to do it, I'm the best.
I was on my very first colonoscopy. I was on the radio at across town there, and I had my doctor come in, and I says, I want you to give me the results on the air. But before we went on the air, I asked him, I am okay, right? He goes, yeah, you're fine. I said, okay, now let's go in there and talk about it. And it was kind of nice that we did that because other people, it encouraged them to go get it done. And it's something that you just need to be done.
Exactly. You know, colon cancer is one of the most preventative cancers there is. And all you have to do is do the best you can to, you know, eat right and then go and get checked. Get checked.
And I've said this a number of times when I tell people about your story, Jamie, is bad in, bad out. Colon cancer truly is one of the most preventable because if everything that you're eating is not real food, bad in, bad out.
The problem today is that they won't even let people get colonoscopies until they're 50.
Yeah.
And I, you know, if I would have waited, I would have been dead. So I hope that people go in when they're younger and just make sure they get it done. Your doctor will do it if you want it bad enough.
Well, there's a book that I quote quite often on Terry's soul. And while you're still here, Jamie, I think you'll appreciate this. The book is actually from a guy whose name is Chris Wark. And at 29, he was diagnosed with stage 4 colon cancer. And the book's called Chris Beat Cancer. And he says in here, the vast majority of incidents of those killer diseases are not caused by bad luck or bad genes. They are a direct result of our daily diet and cancer choices compounded over time.
I believe that because not one person in my family had cancer prior to me.
And see, since then, I've lost both my mom and dad and my brother to cancer, and I'm about to lose my brother-in-law, Patty's brother, and that could happen as soon as this weekend. They said he's with hospice, and they said he probably won't last the weekend. He was a heavy, heavy smoker.
Well, and you talked earlier, Jamie, about what the doctor said to you. Chris brings up in this book that after 8 years of undergraduate school, doctors are 100%, $150,000 in debt with student loans. Then they take on 5 years of residency where they only get paid $50,000 a year. So they're not paying any of that debt off. So after 12 years of education and training, they go into their field. They did a study and 57% of oncologists feel like they are fairly compensated making $330,000 a year. $330,000 a year is fairly compensated for just over half of oncologists.
Yeah, and that's crazy.
I mean, it goes back to what you said. There's no money in broccoli.
Well, and what really was horrible to me is in their training, I work with a lot of healthcare professionals these days, and they said that nutrition is usually a class that you can take on Saturdays, and it doesn't really give you any extra credit. So a lot of them don't even take anything, so I don't know about it.
So the that's doctors that are treating us are not educated on nutrition?
No.
And I know that Terry's my sister, you've talked to her on the phone. She educated herself so much that when she would go in, she knew more than the people at MD Anderson knew.
Well, Terry, I'm sure you can relate to this. I tell everybody, you need to be an active participant in the process. You need to ask a lot of questions. Don't just assume the doctors know everything. Because my oncologist, before told me that he, you know, about the whole broccoli thing, he said, I told him I was going to take Juice Plus. He goes, oh, that's stupid. Don't even do it. All that stuff is stupid. And
really?
Then look at the results I got.
Really?
So, They need to be a part of the process and make sure they ask a lot of questions.
When the doctor called you, Jamie, and you said your number was like 7, your red blood count was 7, what was it a month after when he called you?
Well, it was 2 months later when he called me because it went to 14.6, and he goes, what are you doing? And I said, what do you mean? He goes, your blood, I've never seen this. He came from City of Hope. He goes, I've never seen this in anyone. And I said, well, I'm taking Juice Plus. I told you that. He goes, what is that? I go, that stuff you told me was stupid not to do.
Ooh.
So I brought him in all the science, and he started taking it with his family.
And what's a normal red blood cell count number, Jamie?
Between 11 and 15.
And yours was at 14.6 while going through chemotherapy?
Yes. 2 months into it, and it's never deviated below that.
Good for you.
Thank you.
So there's real power in whole food.
Yep.
And broccoli.
And broccoli.
And broccoli.
Jamie, how do you cook your broccoli? Let's get serious now. How do you cook your broccoli?
You're going to laugh when I tell you how I do this, but everybody loves it. I actually cut it up and I put it on a paper plate. I put some butter and some garlic salt, and I put it in the microwave for 2 minutes, and it's the best broccoli you've ever had.
Okay. I'm going to try it your way.
Well, I have been interviewed by Terry numerous times, and he called me a couple weeks ago, and he said, Baron, I tasted broccoli. I actually like it.
The way she cooked it was she's kind of sliced it up like what you said, put it in a frying, put olive oil in there, because you can't go wrong with olive oil, and she says she put some garlic in there, and then when she was done kind of just sautéing it, she put a little bit of soy sauce on there.
Oh, that would be really good. I do that with Brussels sprouts.
I'm not going to go to Brussels. It'll be another 65 years before I touch those. But so we tried it that way, and I thought, well, this is kind of good. And my wife looked at me, she says, I got to get a picture of this. And I go, no, you don't. And so now we eat broccoli all the time.
That is so good. I'm glad to hear it. It may have taken you 65 years to get there, but you got there.
That's right. Lima beans will never happen.
Yeah, I'm not a lima bean person either. No.
Baron, you like lima beans, though, don't you?
No, I do not like lima beans.
Nobody likes lima beans.
Nobody likes lima beans. No.
But I did tell Terry that the sulforaphane that is in broccoli, if they get the sprout, kind of like alfalfa sprouts, get the broccoli sprouts, there's 50 times as much sulforaphane in the sprouts as there is in the broccoli florets.
Right, that's very true.
The power's in the... And so if you just take a sandwich and put the little broccoli sprouts on it, like it, instead of lettuce, you're getting that powerful sulforaphane.
How do you do that on a peanut butter and jelly sandwich?
That would be kind of weird. Yes, it would.
For me, the trick was garlic. You can never go wrong with garlic.
Yeah,
no,
true.
You can never go wrong with garlic. I use garlic on everything.
I'm
telling
you.
And it's good for you.
It is good for you. So that's what we do. We're garlic. My wife thinks it's a little bit weird when I sprinkle the garlic on my Cheerios, though. She just thinks it's kind of stuck. But what can I say? Well, Jamie, I want to thank you for taking the time to chat with us, and I'm so proud that you've been able to kick this thing. Would you come back and chat with us again sometime?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Would love to. And congratulations to you as well.
Well, thank you.
We'll
talk with you real soon.
Sounds good.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye.
She did it. She beat it.
She did great.
She beat it.
I met that lady one time, September of 2019.
Mm-hmm.
She was just up here doing a seminar, and I got invited to the seminar, and I'm sitting listening to this guy and going, oh, my stars. And so we just became friends.
So this, she does seminars around the country? Or
Yeah.
About cancer?
About that Juice Plus she talks about and how powerful it is in a health, you know, aspect. So I had been taking Juice Plus for a while, and that's why I went to hear some information on it, and I just was amazed. And
What is Juice Plus? I don't know what it is. We've only got about a minute left to go. So what is Juice Plus?
So Juice Plus, they take fruits and vegetables, which are about 90% water, and they take the water out and put it in a capsule. So you're getting 13 servings of food in these capsules, and you're getting all the power, the phytonutrients that are in the food, in a capsule form.
So you're not putting it in a blender and trying to do all.
No,
we tried that one time, and I mean, I got mush.
Yeah,
it was gross.
Yeah, no,
it's in a capsule now.
It's in a capsule, and
where do you get them?
There's reps all over. The rep that I get it from is actually in the Corvallis area. Her husband died of bone cancer, and she didn't want to watch one more person go through what he went through, and so she went on this mission to learn, and that's when she got introduced to it, and then I met her. So.
And so you take one a day or something? Or?
So you're supposed to take one in the morning, one at night, but because of these Spartan races and things I do, I actually take three at night, so I get more phytonutrients in the night because you're sleeping, and I swear at 55 years old, getting through one of those Spartan races, that helped a lot.
Really?
Yeah.
All right. We need to take a break. Don't go anywhere. We're just getting warmed up. My guest is Baron Robison, and we're talking about kicking cancer. We'll be back in just a moment. Stick around. Hey, this is Terry Saul, Saltissimo. Are you in the market for a new car? Well, if so, I encourage you to do what I do. Head down to Lule's Car Connection. Lule's has been selling quality vehicles for over 30 years. Lule's brokers any new vehicle selling within dealer invoice. And check this out. Lule's has financing with most major lenders and credit unions. So do what I do. Stop by Lule's Car Connection, located at 2055 Mission Street in Salem, and tell them Saltissimo sent you. Lule's Car Connection.
We're back in 5, 4, Q-Terry, 2, 1, you're on. You're listening to The Terry Saul Show on KSLM AM and FM, brought to you today by the Lule Group.
We are back with our final few minutes. Today's guest is my buddy Baron Robison, and we're talking about kicking cancer. And we had Jamie Westerfield from Lake Forest, California on there, and she was telling her story about how she was able to beat it.
Yeah.
And those are always fun stories to hear, aren't they?
It's always good to hear the good stories.
So with our final segment here, what have you been doing? What's going on? What's coming up?
Well, you know that I've told you the story about our different GO teams. We really have two signature programs, Terry, that distinguish us from other organizations. The one is the Pathways that I mentioned with Jamie. But the other one is where we rally around somebody locally. We call it the GO team program.
Mm-hmm.
Our first GO team was Brenda, GO team Brenda, right? And so from
Brenda,
that,
wait, is your sister for the people that are just tuning in.
Yep.
And she
So the short version is my sister is now 5 years from her breast cancer diagnosis. It is metastatic, so she does still have cancer flowing in her bloodstream. And so she began to fight it with real food and exercise. And we did a really crazy adventure called the Warrior Dash. And when we were done, I said, why don't we share this information that you're doing to stay alive, which is how Kicking Cancer was formed.
Okay.
So Brenda was the first GO team. We are actually getting ready to do our 14th GO team. And once a year, we actually rally around the memory of somebody who had cancer, because cancer affects the whole family.
We've talked about this before. Cancer doesn't care. Cancer doesn't care if you're male, female, young, old, Republican, Democrat. It doesn't care.
It's not discriminatory at all. Quarter two, which is April, May, and June, is GO Team David. David Gilbert lived in the Corvallis area, was very involved throughout Corvallis in a number of things. I met his son, Derek, here in Salem, and Derek is a volunteer firefighter.
Do I know them?
Derek Gilbert?
Yeah.
I don't know if you do or not. Derek was going to do this 70-story climb to raise money for leukemia, which is what his dad has.
Take the elevator.
I know. And he does it with 70? All his firefighter gear on.
70 stories?
Yeah. So he does it in Seattle.
Wow.
And it's a big fundraiser.
Sure.
So I thought, well, you know, I'm always up for a challenge. So I actually did the 40-story climb in Portland, and it was called Fight for Air. And I will tell you, at the 25th floor.
Say, were you fighting for air?
At the 25th floor, you're fighting for air. Yeah. I knew my lungs were alive. And I will tell you that the interesting thing as I was going up there is at the 36th floor, all I'm doing is counting the numbers. 36. 37, 30, because I knew I was almost done. But Derek kind of inspired me to do that.
So when you got up to the 40th floor,
you can take the elevator down.
Okay, but what if they said, oh, sorry, the elevator's broken, back down the stairs?
Overboard. The crazy thing is that in that climb in Portland, you can actually do that 5 times if you want to.
What 5 times? Go up 40 stories 5 times? Why would you want
to? You could do 200 flights if you wanted to.
Has anybody?
Oh, yeah. There was one guy there, because they give you a little sticker at the top. I saw him. He had five stickers. I'm like, dude, you are way crazier than I am because I did them one time.
We're on a lot of drugs. Wow.
Yeah. So, but unfortunately, because of COVID last year, the firefighter climb was canceled.
Okay.
So the four firefighters here in Salem got together at Pringle Park Plaza, and they just did the four corners of that plaza here in Salem. It's 3.5 stories. So I watched Derek put his fireman gear on. His dad was there watching him. And he did that climb 20 times, which 3.5 flights is now 70 flights. So they found a way to recreate their flight.
And the gear, I mean, my son's a firefighter, and the gear that they put on there, it's got to be about 40 pounds worth of gear.
It's 100 pounds worth of gear.
Okay, there you go.
With the gear and the tank, you know, the oxygen mask. I mean, it was unreal to watch Derek there at the end. I could just hear it, you know, because he's breathing through this thing.
Yeah.
But he did all 70 flights
with
his dad. Well, his dad has lost the fight. So we are going to honor his dad's memory. In June, you can do it for David. We have these orange shirts because that's blood cancer. We're just saying do it three times, which is 10 flights. You don't have to put the fireman gear on. You can bring tennis shoes, but come down in June and do this flight in memory of David.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to sell orange shirts for $20, and we're going to give half of that to Derek so he can then give it to the Leukemia Society.
Nice.
So our second quarter go team is actually in memory.
And when is that event going to take place?
So the event will take place June the 12th.
Okay.
It's the second Saturday in June.
Mm-hmm. And where at?
Pringle Park Plaza.
Okay.
Right downtown Salem. There's four corners, four stairwells, so we can send four people at a time. And we just love to see as many people that want to come down and, you know, just do it three times.
Right, yeah.
Just try it three times. I will tell you that, again, I did 40 flights. If you do it three times, that's 10 flights. And you'll know your lungs are alive after three times.
I bet you will.
So this is just a fun way to remember David's legacy.
Good. Yeah. So, what do you think is going to be your goal? What are you shooting for?
What do you mean?
On that. How many flights are you going to do?
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, I'll do at least three. I'll probably do it 10 times.
You think so?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I met David. I admire what he went through and the fight he went through, and Derek's a good friend of mine. You know, I'll do as many times as I can in my orange shirt.
Let me know when that comes up. I'd like to come down and watch.
Yeah.
Come down and I'll yell at you.
Yeah. Well,
I'll hold a beer at the top.
Please do. Please do.
All right. Get up here. You get this beer and you get up here. You've also got, what is this KC Festival that's coming up in July?
So July 15th through the 18th, those 4 days, is the first Kickin' Cancer Festival. Every day is a different activity. The first day, the 15th, we're actually down at Goss Stadium in Corvallis. Jennifer Beaumont, who I've talked about before on your show, she was our Go Team quarter four last year. She's actually the director of hospitality for the Corvallis Knights. And just as a way for them to thank us, they're inviting us to come with them, and they're going to call it Strike Out Cancer. And we're going to honor Jennifer during that game. And then on Friday, the 16th, there's a charity golf tournament.
Do you golf?
I do.
Do you? Are you any good?
I do. I can golf.
One time.
And I can hit the ball straight.
I hit the ball one time, and I thought, now what? Now you go get it again.
Yeah, you go it again.
I'm not going to go all the way out. Look where it's at.
Well, we're actually calling this Kicking Cancer on the Grass.
Okay.
The grass.
I get it.
Okay.
I get it.
Okay.
I just look dumb.
Okay. We are always looking for corporate sponsors for this. And, you know, you're welcome to email me or contact me to know more about that. But Saturday morning of the festival, we're going to go back out to Volcano Stadium, and we're going to do one of our walks again, which is just two laps in honor of somebody. Then the fun part, Terry, is going to be Sunday night. There's a place just south of Salem called Hidden Lake Ranch, and they are actually donating the entire facility. There's no cost for us, so there's no cost for the public. It's going to be a free event. There's going to be music. There's going to be food trucks. Just come have a party with us, and we'll kick cancer there too.
All right. Baron, it's always a pleasure to have you in, my friend, and what's a phone number or an email address somebody get in touch with if they'd like to ask you some more questions?
If they want to get a hold of me, it's execdir@kicking-cancer.org.
Is that a new email address for you?
It is. It's basically executive director abbreviated. So it's execdir@kicking-cancer.org. If you go to our website, kicking-cancer.org, all of my contact information is on there too.
Okay, and Kicking is KICKIN.
G.
Well, you didn't put a G on your note.
Well, I know, because that's we just kind of have fun with Kicking, but our website is kicking-cancer.org.
All right. All righty, my friend. I wish you all the luck in this stuff, and we'll come back and we'll do this again sometime.
And we're going to honor you all month long, Terry.
Oh, jeez. Does that mean you're going to buy me lunch?
Twice, and donuts, too.
Now we're talking.
Always got to bring
sprinkled
you a
sprinkled with a little bit of broccoli.
That is scary image in my head already.
Thank you, Baron. Talk to you again.
All right. Thanks, Terry.
We are just about out of time for today's show. Remember, you can catch our show every Saturday at 10 a.m. and a replay Sundays at 6 p.m. right here on Salem's original radio station, KSLM. A reminder, if you missed any of today's show or would like to hear any of my shows, you can always hear a podcast on our official KSLM website at www.kslm.news or on my official website at www.terrysaul.com. If you would like to drop me a note, I'd love to hear from you. My email address is terry@kslm.news. We'll see you next time. Take care and be safe.
You've been listening to The Terry Saul Show on Salem's original radio station, 104.3 FM and 1220 AM KSLM. Today's show is brought to you by the Lule Group, featuring Lule's Car Connection, Don Lule Homes, and Teresa Lule's State Farm Insurance. That's a wrap. Thanks, everybody. Good show.
Bye, everybody.